your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Continuing on with the KE Political Report featuring my buddy Jim McKinney. We're going to talk a little bit about term limits. We're going to bring up some examples which actually prove the necessity to make this a much more efficient environment. Now, obviously, you're talking about Dianne Feinstein. You're talking about Nancy Pelosi. I believe in this world, in this environment, you're also talking about Joe Biden, and you're certainly talking about Mitch McConnell. The future of our country rests right now because of their positions and power in the hands of these people, and I think that's wrong. We have talked about this both off mic and on mic. This has to change. Jimmy, you want to elaborate?
Yeah, so we, in the last segment, we talked about what Nancy Pelosi had done and what Mitch McConnell had done or not done that actually exacerbated the problems with January 6th and created conditions that I believe they thought that these older controlling politicians in the Uniparty thought that somehow that when they were doing this that they would be able to intimidate and alienate people. And basically push people away from Donald Trump. But it's really never been about Donald Trump. It's about frustration with what happens in Washington when the senior, very old leaders think they know better than the rest of the population.
Right.
And that's the frustration. And what you're seeing with Nancy Pelosi, what you're seeing with Mitch McConnell, what you've seen with Chuck Schumer, you can name these long-term, you know, Dianne Feinstein, you mentioned these long-term senators or congresspeople that actually have been in so long, they've completely disconnected from the populations that they're supposed to represent back in the states. And because of that, they understand how things work in Washington. They control and manipulate. And they do that because they get the resources from corporations, from the lobbyists, from the different organizations that they've, you know, tied themselves to.
Yeah.
And the only way, and I, you know, there's an argument for longevity in the Senate and the House, right? And that argument has been in the past that they get to know it and they'll represent their districts better and they will, you know, because of that expertise, they'll be able to be more efficient. But I think that is an absolute crock anymore. I used to think that was a possibility, but the reality is they get so disconnected from their populations. They get so disconnected from actual anything outside of the Washington Beltway, and that includes, you know, the information they get from Washington Post and the New York Times and the different network news is that they respond to.
Yeah.
They get so disconnected, and they've been there so long that they actually no longer represent anybody except for the government inside the institutions in Washington. And that's why it's got to change. You need to have my recommendation now is 2 terms in the Senate maximum and 8 years in the House maximum.
Okay.
That would be 4 terms maximum in the House. And I would say that even possibly 6 terms in the House.
Well, I think that makes sense because that way you're going to get...
Correction, 6 years, not 6 terms. Let me correct that.
Yeah, you're going to get fresh ideas, number one, and I think a lot of the corruption is going to be eliminated because with what the system you're talking about right now, Jimmy, it's virtually impossible to instill corruption if you only have... If you don't have the good old boys in there anymore.
Yeah, and one thing that many people do not understand, and this is important to actually realize how Washington works.
Yeah.
The elected officials are basically, they're just talking heads. The staffers, the people that are hired and that basically are connected with the political parties and with the apparatus in Washington, they're the ones that do all the work. They're the ones that do the research. They're the ones that write the talking points. They're these staffers that each one of these congressional offices have, they direct the future of the country. The politicians are only the talking heads.
I agree.
And understanding that has to change, that you've got to do something to stop the influence from outside Washington, I shouldn't say outside Washington, outside of the people's understanding of what's happening. Meaning, you've got to stop. Let me just give the example. So if I call my congressman or senator, okay, maybe because I was in the military, or maybe because, you know, we do the show or something, they may listen to me, but highly unlikely. If you're just a person that's angry about your, you know, what's going on in your neighborhood or about the violence and the crime, and you call your senator or your congressman, they could care less. They don't listen to you. Who they do listen to are the big corporations that provide big donations.
Right.
And they, you know, they hire people. They have a lot of people within a district or something like that. So, you know, they do listen to them, and they'll answer the phone for them. They're not going to answer the phone for me or, you know, the lady down the street who's angry. But they will answer the phone for the big money. Something has to change to where people actually are more responsive to their constituents and less responsive to the big influences out there that are controlling basically the information in the media and, of course, the direction of the nation for the benefit of big money.
Well, money talks. We all know that. But I agree with you 100%, Jim. If you're going to have an efficient government that is lacking some of the BS that's going on right now, you have to put an environment like this in place, Jimmy. There's no question about it.
Yeah, you know, Al, and I think another thing that has to happen is, okay, 95% of the people inside the Beltway vote Democratic, right? And that's, you know, local people that live there, some of the more, I would say, financially difficult areas in Anacostia, the kind of urban problem areas, but also inside Washington's more elite areas, you know, near Georgetown and of course, in downtown D.C. And those people are very incredibly wealthy, but they're also very connected to the Democratic Party. And they don't see things from outside of Washington, D.C., and they are quite happy because they're usually very well protected because, on one side of the street or, you know, if you're on one side of the river, you're pretty well off. If you're on the other side of the river in southeast Washington, it's a disaster. It's a nightmare. And they keep voting in the same local authorities. But bottom line is they're beholden to the Democratic Party.
Yes, they and are. I don't think it's as high as... as the number you gave, though. And Jim, we got to take a break here pretty quick for the top of the hour news. But I have to say, would you comment again on, you said 90% of people vote.
94%, 94% actually vote Democratic in D.C.
Oh, in
those are facts.
In D.C. Okay, all right, I'll buy that.
Yeah. Okay. So they're disconnected from the rest of America.
You bet.
They do not understand people out in what they call the flyover states.
Yeah, no, I understand totally. Jimmy, got to take a break. We're right up to the wall right now. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.